she was suffered from this illness, this malady, where she was crippled by a spirit. It says crippled, and she was bent over. Let me get some volunteers here just to help illustrate what this might have been like. Who wants to volunteer to just come forward and help bring this to point? Really, Rick? Anyone else? Any other? Any other brave young people? That's a volunteer right there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Brave sister? Yes, Lewis. And all right, so do me a favor. The Bible doesn't really describe exactly what this woman would have looked like, except that she was bent over. So what I would like the three of you to do is, for our benefit, demonstrate what you think she may have looked like. No, you don't have to be a woman. Just all right. So, just what would it have looked like, right? Okay. Lewis, got that? Yeah. Okay. Ready? All of you together now. Right. Let's go. Yeah. All right. Now, just hold that position for a second. All right. Because the Bible says that she was bent over for 18 years. Oh, stay where you are. So for 18 years, can you imagine what that would have felt like? Right now, guys, don't move. In this position, how do you feel? They've been at it for 18 seconds right now. Imagine what it'd be like for 18 minutes, which is about how long I'm going to speak for. And if you can stay... No, okay, you can stand up. It's okay, you can stand up. Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. But imagine if in not 18 minutes, or even 18 hours, or 18 days, or 18 weeks, or 18 months, but 18 years being bent over like that. How intense would that be? And you know, the Bible says here in verse 10, it says Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And the NIV doesn't quite capture it here, but in verse 11 in the Greek it says, "And behold, and look, there was a woman there who had been crippled by a spirit." It's almost as if she's just come into the frame. It's almost as if she's just entered the synagogue, and Jesus looks up, and the Bible says that he sees her in verse 12. And here she is. There's this woman who's bent over. And I cannot imagine what that would have been like. But Jesus, it says he sees her and he calls her forward. You know, it's unusual in the Jewish culture and society of the time. A, for a man to be speaking to a woman, that's not a relative. But even then, to call her forward, to take center stage in the middle of the worship, place of worship in the synagogue, again, it's highly unusual. For him to put his hands on her again, to be touching a woman who's not a relative, and in public, this is all out of the ordinary. But what Jesus does is he calls her forward, he places his hands on her, and immediately she straightens up, and then what does she do? She begins to praise God. You know, there are a lot of things in life that can cause us to be bent over. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. I think sin is one of the things that can weigh us down. Sorrow. Suffering, sickness, all these things can weigh us down and cause us to likewise be bent over and to be crippled for extended periods of time. And that's the situation this woman was facing, that she was bent over. But Jesus made the difference. Jesus steps in, he calls her forward, he heals her, and she's praising God. Can you imagine? Do you get a sense of how she would have felt to be set free? He says to her there, he says in verse 12, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." The Greek, in the Greek, it's you're loosed. You ever had a bad back? Or you ever had, like, Randall came to a leaders meeting on Friday evening, and he was wearing this neck brace. And And he was talking about how it was just helping because he suffers with tension headaches and his muscles were all tense. And he says, wearing this neck brace, he says it just helped relieve the muscles to give it a little bit of just relief and help prevent the headaches from progressing. And I could totally identify with that. Because there are times when I've had just such tense muscles that it causes shooting pains all down your back. And at times like that, you want nothing more than to your muscles to be loosened. And you want someone who knows what they are doing to be able to just loosen those knots and untie them and just give you that sense of, oh my goodness. If you've ever experienced a proper physiotherapy session where the physiotherapist, they know what they're doing and they get in there and they can loosen the muscles so that all of a sudden now you're set free. And there's this sense of, oh my, Sarah and Jack on their honeymoon, they sent us some pictures. On their honeymoon, they were flying back to Sydney and they managed to get a layover in Fiji. And that's where they decided to stay. The layover was for a period of over a week, and they could stay there for their honeymoon, and so that's what they did. And there's a brother in the church there in Fiji who works in the tourist industry. He manages a number of resorts, but these are high-end resorts. We are talking not just Bognor Regis or Butlins or Skegness. We are talking these are resorts on islands, private islands. And so they were able to get a massively discounted deal to allow them to stay in one of these resorts. It was still super expensive, but Jack's parents paid for that, so we're rejoicing, and that was encouraging. But nonetheless, they got this massively discounted deal where they could stay in one of these resorts so that they were on an island where I believe they were one of either two or three other couples on the island. Just them. And they showed us these pictures, and they sent these pictures back, and you could see them just being so relaxed. And Jude and I were looking at this, and we thought, wow, we went to Wales for our honeymoon. But they've got these blue seas and white sandy beaches, and they're in a hammock, and they're just relaxing and just so loose and relaxed and set free. You know, that's how this woman would have felt after 18 years of physical bondage. And she has been set free. And that's what Jesus did for her. She was bent over, and now she was straightened. But look at the second half of this story, in verse 14. Indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Whoa! This is the synagogue leader, all right? So he's meant to be the guy who is responsible for helping to facilitate the worship. And this woman, she's had something incredible happen. And how does he respond? The Bible says he's indignant. And I don't know what his problem is. But certainly he doesn't address it to Jesus. Maybe he's intimidated by Jesus. So he rebukes the people and says, "Hey, it's the Sabbath. There are 6 days for you to come and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath to be healed." Like that was the woman's intention, that she just showed up on the Sabbath, "I'm going to get healed today." What if someone shows up on the other 6 days and Jesus isn't there? What's this guy going to do? Is he going to heal them? I don't think so. He's indignant. Don't you just hate it when you've got someone in a position of authority who, for whatever reason, they're a bit of a Jobsworth. They're a bit of a legalist. They're totally lacking in empathy. Totally lacking in just any kind of connection with the people. So if point number one was bent over, point number two is backwards. And that's who this synagogue, that's where this synagogue ruler is at. Just emotionally, mentally, spiritually, he's backwards. He's completely just missing the whole point. He is not seeing what everyone else is seeing. Here's a woman who's been set free. Jesus called her, he says, she's a daughter of Abraham. He holds her up, and this guy, he just totally missing the point. You know, on our way back from America, we arrived back in the UK on Monday. Our bags arrived back on Wednesday. We came to Heathrow. Our bags went to New York. And, you know, we were at the airport waiting for our bags and we couldn't find them. And I went and spoke to someone there was a little bit of a lack of empathy. There was this, fill out this form. But our bags are missing, fill out this form. There was no sense of, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, but you must be missing your bags. All I wanted was just an acknowledgement. But there wasn't that. In fact, on the way back, we were supposed to be flying to Newark and then catch another plane to fly back to London. But what happened was on that first flight was delayed. There was apparently somewhere between where we were in D.C. and where our other plane was near New York, there was storms somewhere in the middle. And because it was only a tiny, it wasn't an international flight, just a local or domestic flight, and so it was a really small plane, and so that they're much more susceptible to bad weather. And so as a result, there were all kinds of delays in the airport where we were. And so they were, our plane came in late and it was leaving late, and we already knew it was so late that we were going to miss our flight. And so I went and spoke to one of the employees there, the guy, the agent at the gate, and I explained we've got a plane to catch in Newark, and this one's coming in late. At this point, it was going to be incredibly tight. I said, "Is there anything we can do?" He said, "You can go and talk to customer services." I said, "Okay, great." But there was no sense of, "Oh, yeah, that's going to be tough. Let's see what we can do." There was nothing. And it wasn't, I wasn't the only one. There were other people there as well. And to be fair, the guy was polite. And given the fact that there were so many people who were so concerned, I was actually quite impressed that he wasn't rude or in any way. But there was this lack of connection. There was a sense of, I just want someone to say, "Oh, I feel your pain." And that would have made it better. I would have still missed my flight, but I would have felt a little bit better. "Oh, I feel your pain." This synagogue ruler was totally missing it. Totally missing it. There was just this disconnect. And he starts rebuking the people. He says, "There's 6 days when you can come, and then you can be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath." And, you know, he's referring to the letter of the law in the sense of, in Deuteronomy 5, where God gives the law. And he tells the Israelite nation, you're to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox or your donkey or any of your animals, nor any foreigner reside in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So he's referring to the law that 6 days you're supposed to work, and on the seventh day, that's a day of rest. But you know, when you think about what was going on in this situation, I don't see a lot of work taking place, do you? See, this woman, she comes and she's in, and Jesus calls her forward, and she steps forward, and he places his hands on her. He says, "You're set free." And now she can straighten, and she's praising God. Where was the work? It's not even like Jesus broke a sweat. It wasn't like, he has to get in there and try and manipulate her back and try and get her to... So I don't understand where... In fact, when you go back to the actual Old Testament and you see why God gave that commandment, it was a reminder that the Israelite nation, they'd just been released from bondage. They'd been in slavery for hundreds of years. And they've been set free. And so now God says, "Look, I want you to remember that you are slaves. And I want you not only to take a day aside where you can rest," because as slaves, they wouldn't have had that opportunity. As slaves, they have been working 24, 24/7. Here he says, you are a free people. And not only for you to take that day of rest and reflect and remember and give thanks to God, but also for your sons, your daughters, even your animals. They're supposed to have that day of rest. Even the foreigners among you, they're to have that day of rest. And it's a reminder that you were slaves. If ever there was a day for this woman to be set free, wasn't the Sabbath the appropriate day for her to be set free? A day when they were being reminded of being released from their bondage, from their slavery? And so when Jesus then, he confronts the synagogue ruler, and in verse 15, the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites!" See, it wasn't just the ruler. There are obviously people there who in agreement with the synagogue ruler. He says, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. I love the fact that Jesus steps in and he sets it right. He straightened out the woman, now he straightens out the synagogue ruler. And he says, "You're a hypocrite, and all of your supporters, you're all hypocrites. Wouldn't you untie your animals?" In fact, the letter of the law doesn't say you can't heal on the Sabbath. What had happened was, over the centuries, the Jews had come up with all these different traditions to try and help them keep the law. And so they'd come up with all these different restrictions that were not actually in the Word of God, but were actually in the Word of man. And so you've got the Mishnah, and you can go and read there, and you can see the Jewish traditions about how to uphold the law. And even in the Mishnah, it says that they were allowed to untie their animals, their ox or their cattle or whatever, to lead them to water, so they're not left tied up and unable to drink on the Sabbath. So there were certain things that they could do. And none of them would think twice about, "Let me untie my animal to so it can drink some water on the Sabbath." And so Jesus challenged them. He says, "You would do that for your animals. What about for this woman, a daughter of Abraham? Shouldn't she be set free and allowed to be freed on the Sabbath?" And of course, what can they say to that? Because their double standards are just laid bare. And there was nothing they could answer to that. Let me show you this video clip. It's a young man, I think it's a 17-year-old fellow, who through an injury was left bent over double and was stuck that way for about a period of 4 months. But you can have a look and see.
Can handle this correction, or would you like me to continue? Yeah. If you've changed your mind, we can stop. Just going to make a very, very small correction to start with. You might hear some noise or feel a little bit of movement down here, but don't worry, okay? Let me hold this.
Spare your life.
What are you going to do?
Just breathe.
Yeah.
I feel this pain on the other side.
Good. I actually think even if you are a little bit hunched over, you're going to be able to walk a bit easier. As you take weight on this, it'll be pretty difficult because you haven't done it for a while. Just take a few steps first, because you need to push some fluid out of the joint.
Better? Fantastic.
Fantastic. You sleep well? Fantastic. It was, you've watched him for 4 months now. Does he look different to you? Her head was here yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Looking good, mate.
Yeah, before, if you want to move, you have to help him.
Keep the leg up.
You know, with head. Right now, he can move, he can walk easy.
Well, now he's walking heel-toe, which is something he wasn't doing before. And if you notice, he's taking long strides. He's actually getting his feet under his body.
I used to like just to lift him that much. When I was much better.
Pleasure. Give a breath. Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. See you later. Oh.
And we get lift off. That's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. What? So you just straight right now. What? I'm actually really excited to see what happens here. He's going to go from here to here. Back up to here, and when he came, he was down here. Now he just looks like he plays too much Xbox. Look what I found.
Wow. That's so impressive.
I'm taller than him.
You are taller now.
You've done it.
Just breathe into this space that you've created. That's it. It's pretty good.
I don't believe it.
It's a big moment. Your family's been through a lot, haven't they? It's hard as a dad because you just think, you've lost your son. You've lost your kid.
Sorry, Dad.
Give him a hug, right? He needs it. You know, it's funny because when I first palpated Moon's neck, his butt was there and his back was here and his head was over here. It looked like he was going to be stuck with that forever. Robbie? This is
more. Oh, someone actually seems as high.
Yeah.
You told him, yeah.
That's where you gotta be, right there.
Are you gonna become a chiropractor?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
you know, you can imagine the sense of joy and elation. Can we get these lights turned back on? That his family would have felt just to seeing just the recovery of their son. But that's the joy that the synagogue ruler should have experienced for this woman. That's the celebration that everyone that day should have experienced. You know, the first point was bent over. The woman was bent over. The second point was the synagogue ruler was backwards. But the third point is that Jesus bent over backwards to help this woman. He went out of his way to do all that he can. You know, the phrase bent over backwards means that someone who goes the extra mile makes a special effort in order to help or serve or to please someone. To try extremely hard is what the idiom means. Bent over backwards. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for every single one of us. He's bent over backwards to help us, to provide salvation for all of us. That's his desire, is for us to be set free. He says to the woman, you know, you are free. The word he uses, you're loosed. He uses it again. He says, wouldn't you even loose your oxen, your cattle, so they can water? He says, shouldn't this woman be set loose? That's what God wants for all of us. Jesus wants us to know the truth and for the truth to set us free. Free from all kinds of burdens, all kinds of challenges. That's his desire. You know, when our flight was delayed, I went to the customer services and there was a massive, massive queue of people also lining up to be seen. And there was no way I was going to be seen in time before our first flight came. And even though it meant we were going to miss our second flight, there was nothing we could do. So we sat there just thinking, wow, we're stuck. So we prayed and we just said, amen, the Lord's in control. Then we got the news that our flight was delayed even further. So it was delayed by half an hour, then 45 minutes. Then it was being delayed by another hour, which meant I had time to go back to customer services. And so then I went back to customer services, and by that stage, there was no one else there. And so I went up to the desk, and I said, excuse me, can you help me? And this guy said, oh, you know what, I'm just off duty right now. But let me see if I can help you. And I said, our flight is delayed. This means we're going to miss our connecting flight. He said, I'm so sorry. Let me see what I can do for you. And you know what? That was exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted to give the guy a hug. Oh, thank you. Yeah. And he took my tickets from me. He looked at the computer. He says, okay, yep, there's nothing we can do about the connecting flight, but here's what we can do. We can put you on a direct flight to London. So that way then you don't have to go there and the flight doesn't leave for another hour. You've got time to make that. We can figure it out. And he said, we'll try and get your bags sorted. Didn't manage that. But he got us on the direct flight. He says, there's only three more seats left, but you've got the last three seats on the plane. And because they were the last three seats, it was in an upgraded cabin. And so we went from economy to premium economy. And there was no question of, oh, I'm sorry, the rules don't allow us to. No, it was, we had a direct flight, we were upgraded. It was incredible. And so we sat there thinking, well, thanks God for the delayed flight. this is awesome. You know, the week before we'd gone to the cinema. It was Caleb's birthday the week before, and we'd gone to the cinema to celebrate his birthday. And I spoke to the person there. I said, it's my son's birthday. They said, oh, if it's his birthday, then here's what we can offer. We can give him this. If you just sign up for this free membership, whatever, then on his birthday he can get free popcorn. And so we did. We signed up and then we got these tickets. And the cinema, the seats, I kid you not, the seats were about this. They were bigger than my armchair at home, each of the seats in the cinema, and they were fully reclining. Talk about bent over backwards. They fully reclined. I meant to show you a picture. I didn't have it on my phone though, but you're fully reclined. And they had this massive bucket of popcorn, and which Caleb shared with all of us. and after his popcorn was finished, you got free refills. So I went out a couple of times to fill it back up again, because, you know, there were five of us there. And, you know, but it was amazing. You know, when you experience that level of, okay, it's not just let me serve you, but let me really serve you. Let me go the extra mile. Oh my goodness, do you feel special? That's what Jesus has done for every one of us. And that's what Jesus wants to do for every one of us. Jesus' desire is for all of us to be set free. We may be weighed down by challenges, sin, sorrow, sickness, whatever. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to be like the cynical ruler. We don't have to be backwards. But instead, we can experience just the freedom that comes in Christ. You know, today, it's a real joy and a privilege to be able to witness Farai's baptism as she becomes a daughter of Christ, as she is set free from her sin. And that's what Jesus offers for all of us. There's a sense of we can be set free. You know, if you're a Christian, I want to remind you of the sacrifices Jesus went to so that we can have freedom. But we are called to use that freedom to help others also experience freedom. And if you're visiting, maybe you're not a member of the church, I want to encourage you to look into the scriptures. Ask someone to study the Bible with you so you can see just exactly what it is that Jesus is offering for each and every one of us. At this time, I want to ask Farai to come forward, along with Amy, who has been involved in some of the studies. And maybe Amy can just introduce us to our new sister-to-be.